Fari's clapping.
Okay, I think we're still on air, so
all right.
Can you go and grab
of course
one of the other?
Thank you.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We're going to have some music coming on.
Hello and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Well, I want to start off with some lovely feedback we received.
We got feedback?
We got feedback. I always appreciate feedback, absolutely. Yes. Except for static feedback. Do not appreciate that. But the feedback we got was about how CanQueer, or Queer Can, as I think it was phrased, we may have forgotten
to
mention what it is that we're talking about.
Bear with me here. Okay.
You know how we sometimes dive into a gay news story or a conversation and, we might have a tangent on the side. But sometimes we forget that, of course, people are tuning in. And I refuse to believe that people are tuning out. Okay. I believe people are just they're reaching their destinations and they have to go do something else.
Yeah.
Nobody's tuning out, of course. But the people that come and go listening, and the feedback was that we need to do a better job on reminding folks, or just reiterating.
Mm-hmm.
We go through what it is that we are going to be talking about. So I appreciate that. I know that I can waffle. And Sebastian, I know that you...
Pancake.
You what, sorry? Yes, you pancake. Yeah, that was exactly it. That was the long pause for the pancake. All right. But
I could see the hamsters in your brain running on their tiny wheel when you were processing that.
The reason why there was an epic long pause between the waffle and pancake joke... Because frankly, we had a great night last night. It wasn't the Gay Olympics, which are the Gay Games, of course.
Yes.
But it was culturally very similar. It was Eurovision. Eurovision. Yes. Now, this show is going to contain spoilers. We're going to be talking about the sort of queer cultural significance of it. Mm-hmm. Huge things happening. We are going to touch on some other LGBTQ news as well as we proceed. But Eurovision is going to be the bread and butter of this week's show.
Yes.
We have more music than usual. We've leaned in on the Eurovision. I don't know if our listeners realize this, but we nearly always highlight emerging Canadian LGBTQ-identified musicians on the show. That's the music that we normally play.
Yes.
With one exception. Every year, like clockwork.
And Eurovision,
Eurovision.
Now, that said, if there are obvious things like Elton John or the Pet Shop Boys or Melissa Etheridge or the Indigo Girls come out with a new track after years of silence, we'll be like, well, yes, we're going to play their music.
Yeah.
I think that's another major exception. But yeah, I think the clearest exception is Eurovision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive into our first topic. I have been seeing a lot of organizations rallying behind the Rainbow Week of Action. Now, this one is being started with the Society of Queer Momentum, as well as Fierté Canada Pride, the Enchanté Network, and various organizations, including Unifor Canada, the Canadian Centre for Gender and Sexual Diversity, a few other unions, PFLAG, EGAL Canada, Oxfam Canada, Amnesty International, and a lot of pride organizations, Toronto, Ottawa, Vancouver. I believe Vancouver's there. And lots of people, Halifax Pride. A lot of people have signed on to the Rainbow Week of Action. Now, I bring it up because it's this week.
Oh, well done.
Are you actioning right now, Sebastian?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what am I supposed to be actioning now?
As it happens, they have a list.
Okay.
And it's named mainly at governments and elected officials. There is a letter writing component to get people to write the local MPs. They're pretty simple things. publicly condemn the rise in anti-2S LGBTQI hate taking place across Canada, speak up to address the rise in anti-hate in council meetings, legislatures, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Explore what it is that you can do to advance equality. Update the federal 2S LGBTQ plus action plan. Mm-hmm. Work with them to improve access to healthcare. Implement the 29 policy solutions in the white paper on the status of trans and diverse people. And then it even goes all the way down to the municipal levels, encouraging them to create advisory committees or to work and invest in the local community. Mm-hmm. Really, it seems to be a bit of a rallying cry, coast to coast to coast, advocating folks to get the hustle on. Mm-hmm. And go from there. But I believe that there is a number of rallies and events happening all over the country for this, different events on different days. Thunder Bay has a rally, Red Deer has a rally, Toronto has a rally, Sault Ste. Marie has a rally, Charlottetown has a rally, St. John's, Sarnia, don't know what they're doing in Winnipeg, Fredericton, Regina, London, Ontario, mm-hmm. Ottawa, Saskatoon, Barrie, Kitchener, Hamilton, Edmonton, Cornwall, Vancouver, Calgary, and the Fraser Valley all have rallies happening, most of them on May 17th. So it is, it's going to be a very busy day for the gays on May 17th, mm-hmm. As they participate in various rallies. We're going to try and head out to the Ottawa rally, get some footage, some sound bites, to give folks a sense of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we'll see. Now, I think it was the Globe and Mail. It may not have been the Globe and Mail. That has really kind of indicated that this might be some of the most organizing that
okay.
the community has done. They didn't say that. I was trying to recap.
Uh-huh.
They would have a better phrase than that.
Okay, yeah.
Eurovision last night, bear with me.
Yeah.
But they are essentially alluding to the fact that this may be the most queer organizing that's happened in really quite a while.
Yeah, decades. Well, maybe not decades. Well, at least a decade.
Yeah.
In Canada, yeah.
Well, what we know in Canada, we spoke mm-hmm. about this a couple of weeks ago, about the significant increase in hate crimes, violent hate crimes against the queer community that have shot up in the last 5 years. So okay. it is a really pressing issue, but certainly something to get out there and say things that rhyme about, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Good old saying things that rhyme. Do you how many of those the actions that they're recommending would you say are, for lack of a better term, positive? Because there's a lot of like denouncing and speaking out against and you know distancing yourself from and all that kind of thing, and I don't know, you gotta balance your stick with your carrot, you know, like grabbing somebody by the shoulders and just yelling in their face, hating, like that's not really going to get that much done. Is there anything on there that's a little bit more positive about like meeting people and shaking hands and getting out speaking to people who may not like you necessarily and building a connection so they see you in a more human way?
It does seem to primarily land on encouraging politicians and all levels of government to step up and speak at opportunities where it's available about addressing the anti-hate that's happening. There's a few other ones there. Like, for example, if a province or territory does not have any kind of plan in place,
mm-hmm.
make a plan in consultation
your
community.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a great example. They actually recommend following the government of the Yukon or the government of Quebec's model mm-hmm. for their plan. Another recommendation they have is to update the federal plan. But yeah, no, it's a lot of things. And broadly speaking, I get the sense that they want to raise the profile of this and potentially advocate for a bit more funding to address some of these issues. We will see what happens from there. But first, We're going to be playing two songs. First one, we're going to start off with Lithuania's entry
yes.
to Eurovision. Now, I took some notes when I was paying attention, and all I've got for Lithuania is a bop, and it was a great track.
The only thing that's guaranteed with Eurovision is disappointment. The winner is always someone where you're like, and you know, this is a mild spoiler, so remember what I'm saying now for the end of the show where we play the winner. The winner is always someone where you're like, it's a good song. You know, I get why they did well, but why did they win instead of, and then you list other people.
Yeah.
Lithuania is on my list of other people that if they won, I would not have been questioning it.
So it is Sylvester Belt with Luktuk. And after that, we're going to be playing Estonia. Now, it's the Feminist and the Pull-Up for the song Nendest. I'm not going to go any further in trying to pronounce the Estonian entry because I don't want to cause too much offense. But they were giving dadcore.
Yeah.
You know, it really was giving. You actually said it looked like there were five podcasters who got let out on the stage. Like,
They're just there to have a great time. Actually, something I really appreciate about it, a lot of countries, they send like young, sexy people. And it's like, I don't know, in some ways, it's like Hollywood, like you're 27. Sorry, buddy, you're 5 years too old for this. Whereas there are some countries where they just send anyone who's a fun musician. Actually, there's quite a few. I noticed quite a few artists this year who are clearly over the age of 40. They just sent their vintage people who had powerful voices still and built a good reputation in their home country. And I don't know what Estonia's deal is, but they were just there having a great time.
All right. Well, this is the Lithuanian entry followed by the Estonian entry. And we will be back just after this. Ir kai sutems, ir vėl iš naujo rytoj, rytoj, rytoj Pažadu mylėt tave rytoj Labai, labai, labai Surasi tu mane naktį labai Ar aš vis dar gyvas? Ar tebe pažįsti mane? Saulė nepakyla Pasakyk, ar liksi šalia Naktis kita ir kaip tada Aš vėl iš naujo rytoj, rytoj, rytoj Pažadu mylėt tave rytoj Ar aš vis dar gyvas? Ar tebe pažįsti mane? Saulė nepakyla Pasakyk, ar liksi šalia Nebenoriu šokt, stovime tyloje, grojančio radio Nebenoriu šokt, bet man reikia šokt
Me pole narkomaani, pole midagi tein Kleidib meie seljas on prügikasti leid Politsei kroonika ja suvilas on reid Ainus kott, mis laual on roheline leis Me pole narkomaani, pole midagi tein Kleidib meie seljas on
Welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And earlier, we were talking about Lithuania's entry, Sylvester Belt. Mm-hmm. He is apparently the first representative from Lithuania who is openly LGBTQ+, specifically, because he's not all of those things, specifically came out as bisexual in, I want to say, 2017. Mm-hmm. Really, when competing for the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, because there's also a Junior Eurovision Song Contest, mm-hmm. He came out and has been happily out ever since, and is Lithuania's first openly gay, openly bi entrant into the Eurovision Song Contest. Now,
that we know of.
Well,
the thing is like 60 openly. Years old. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the 68th Eurovision Song Contest. Next year is going to be the 69th Eurovision Song Contest.
It's going to be the Wahe year. Yeah.
That'll be the word. Yeah, exactly. Definitely a lot going on. But I want to touch on a bit of a different news story. Okay. And that is just a quick recap on some international news that's happening. The Boy Scouts of America has decided to rebrand itself as, I believe, it's Scouting America.
Okay.
And it really is just may actually be related to the lawsuits alleging mm-hmm. abuse against the organization for many, many years, specifically abuse by folks inside the organization. There are many documentaries on it. We're not going to go into too many details, but it's not a huge leap. Yes, but they came into quite significant legal trouble, and they have rebranded. So we'll be keeping an eye on that as it develops. But the story I wanted to share with you, get your hot take, is on Chicago.
Okay.
So the Chicago police recently revealed, now it's worth noting for the audience, that when you're planning a pride parade, this relates to pride parades,
okay.
When you're planning a pride parade, you want to make sure that the roads are safe to march down, that mm-hmm. You know, there is a route that is safe to do so, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
there's also a whole bunch of like just city planning level stuff, like your route doesn't block a hospital, your route doesn't block a highway ramp, your route does not go through a part of town with gaping potholes. Like it's pretty, yeah, there's some infrastructural stuff too. There, you could have the perfect plan all laid out, and then City Hall will be like, there are structural reasons why we have to say no, because the following locations, we can't block them. Like, it's a process, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the Chicago Police Department decided that if they actually reduce the length of the parade by a few blocks, so, you know, 3 or 4 blocks, it would actually reduce the need for 48 officer police.
Hachi-machi. But what's on those 3 blocks?
I know. Apparently it's a busy couple of blocks.
Fireworks factory, a guillotine display house. Like, I don't know what's going on there. Like, that's amazing.
Well, officers. The challenge is that they may have actually just forgotten to tell the pride parade.
Okay.
What? Yeah, yeah. It turns out that the Pride Parade in Chicago discovered that their Chicago Pride Parade route is now going to be significantly shorter from reporting by, I believe it was the Block Club, who put out a report really noting specifically that that this will be smaller due to, quote, safety and logistical concerns. The Block Club is a publication based out of Chicago. So it's going to be capped at 125 entries, and it'll start about an hour earlier. But these details may not have been communicated to the Pride Parade. They say that rather the Pride Parade had learned about this mm-hmm. from the reporting. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been to Montreal Pride. I've been to Toronto Pride. And yeah. It is a slow, ongoing affair. It blocks traffic for days.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's maybe if you've seen one bank marching, you've seen all the banks marching. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, does it need to be so long?
Yeah.
So there's two things here. Should the parade be a little bit shorter? And also, they really should have told them.
Yeah, everything that you said about the benefits of shortening that route and the fallout from it, that all sounded completely reasonable. It was just the lack of communication. So here in Ottawa, because both you and I have sat on the Pride committees here, we both know that, I know that not every city functions exactly like this, but every city has something similar where, you know, city hall, fire, police, EMS services, maybe bylaw, they'll sit around together, they'll send a representative and you say, we want the following parade, we need the following street closures. They all bring out, you know, these are the things we'd be concerned about if the parade is this length because of the location in town and you're nowhere near food services, you may have dehydration. So, you know, the hospital services will be like, if you do not provide fresh water for cheap or free, then we don't like this. But anyway, there'll always be a plan. There'll be a planning committee for all these different levels. And everyone in the room, including a representative from the festival, has to sign off on the plan. So the fact that they could just sign off on the whole parade without a member of the committee there, that's weird to me that they just can unilaterally do that, because Montreal and Toronto have their own version of that as well, that the details need to be negotiated, because it could be that the city said, you know, if you go those extra three blocks, it'll cost you an extra $6,000 in security. If the parade is willing to say, we will do the fundraising for that extra $6,000, those three blocks are worth it to us, a lot of cities would be like, well, you know, if you're willing to foot the bill, that's on you. That's fine with us. But going behind their back and just saying like, yeah, this doesn't look convenient, so we're just going to scrap it and you're going to do the thing that we decided behind your back. Like, that's weird. It's just unprofessional.
Yeah. Well, apparently somebody at the Pride Parade was notified in mid-March. But other people seem to have been surprised. Now, the mayor, apparently, and city councillors in Chicago are advocating for it to be opened back up again. It's at 125 entrants.
Okay.
It was 199 last year. But it is also one of the oldest Pride Parades in North America. They marched in 1970.
Okay.
For the first time. And they have been marching like clockwork every year, pretty much ever since. So it is a big thing. But, you know, 43 police positions, if your parade is that much shorter, I think it does get to a point where obviously people want to express their pride. But I do think that Pride parades are becoming a little bit of victims of their own success.
Yeah, could be that.
Now you have to be a little bit discerning. Do I really need to see Winners, Marshals, and Home Sense marching? Or should that be a space set aside for a queer organization? You know what I mean? Like, maybe there should be some prioritizing a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just occurred to me, actually, Chicago has dozens of bridges everywhere. Those extra 48 cops could just be for bridge to keep people from crowding out and pushing each other off by accident or something. Yeah, if it's something like that, something logistical, for the police to say, we don't want your parade to cross a bridge, because that's a nightmare. Fair enough. Fair enough.
As we barrel forward into Pride season, as mentioned earlier, hate crimes against the community on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
It is worth mentioning that safety is key. Now, we are going to be jumping forward to two quite bizarre songs, Eurovision Song Contest. We're going to do Spain and Ireland.
Okay.
I want to mention that Ireland's entry was Bambi Thug. She really strongly advocated for crowning the witch. identifying as a practicing witch herself.
Mm-hmm.
They use they, them. Sorry, I correct myself. I think I referred to her in female just now. They use they, them pronouns. They are the first non-binary artist to represent Ireland. And apparently, since the competition has ended, has not taken too lightly to the news. But it is quite the eccentric song. It is definitely a really good example.
Eurovision metal, which is almost a genre of its own.
Yeah, it is. It is just, it is out there. Apparently, Bambi Thug has spoken out against the European Broadcasting Union, which is essentially an association of all of the national broadcasters that create Eurovision. Took a swing at the European Broadcast Union for not just what happened with the Dutch entry, which we'll get into just now, or the Israeli boycott, which we'll also get to just now, but really just disagreeing with how they have organized it across multiple points. Before then, we are going to play the Spanish entry, Zora with Nebulosa.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, we have Ireland's entry. Bambi Thug's entry from Ireland will also be playing up next. And we will be back just after that. That'll be Doomsday Week.
Soy la zorra. Si me divierto, la más zorra. Se alargo y se me hace de día. Soy más zorra todavía.